I think the cross of Christ is probably the most complex event in all of history. So much happened during those horrific hours that our Savior suffered and died for our salvation. There's many dimensions to the cross. There's many ways we can look about it, contemplate it, consider it. We can talk about that on the cross, Jesus became our substitute. We can talk about that on the cross, Jesus satisfied the justice of God. We can talk about that on the cross, that Jesus paid the ransom for our rescue from hell. We can talk about on the cross that Jesus claimed victory over Satan. The cross is a multifaceted event. But the one dimension of the cross that I want to focus on tonight is one that we often don't consider, one that we often don't contemplate or meditate on. And that is simply this, that on the cross, Jesus became a curse. Galatians 3, verse 10 says this, "For as many as are of the works of the law, they are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them." When Adam and Eve sinned, the known universe became cursed, including every creature in it. And to understand the curse rightly, God gave his people, the children of Israel, a law. The law is crucial to understanding our salvation, and it's crucial to knowing what Jesus did for us on the cross. You see, the law reveals both how holy God is and how unholy we are. And so Paul quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, where Moses called for the children of Israel to stand on two mountains, and on one mountain to declare the blessings of those who will be obedient to the law, and on the other side to cry out the curses for those who are disobedient to the law. And then he says, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book. Now, Paul is abundantly clear. Anyone who does not obey the law in its entirety will be cursed by it. That curse will have ramifications in this life, but ultimately, eternal ramifications in the next. Paul says in verse 11 that anyone who tries to justify himself to God, that you would be good enough to receive God's righteousness, by saying that, they curse themselves. Paul goes on to quote Habakkuk chapter 2, that the only way a person can be declared just or right in the eyes of God is through faith, and that faith must be in Jesus Christ. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now Paul says, the law, however, is not of faith. You see, on the contrary, anyone who would try to achieve their righteousness by obedience to the law must live by them. He who practices them shall live by them. Now the question is, how shall you live? Shall you live according to the works of the law, trying to justify yourself before a holy God? How shall you live? And if we understand what the scriptures are teaching us, then there is absolutely no way around it. You are cursed because of your unrighteousness. You're cursed. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Our situation is very grave. The very moment that we violate just one of the commands found in the law, we condemn ourselves. And the curse is placed on us. For the wages of sin is death. The answer to our dilemma came at a very high cost, you see, because someone had to remove the curse that's on you. Someone had to do enough to redeem you and to receive the curse that belonged to you. Now, there is only one who had the potential to do that. There is only one who had the ability to do that. There's only one who was capable. That's the one who was born of a virgin without a sin nature, lived a perfect life. He was the perfect law abider. He didn't do away with the law, he simply fulfilled it. And having fulfilled the law, he sought it upon himself then to pay for your sin debt on a cross. He redeemed you. He purchased you by his own shed blood. In doing so, he rescued you from condemnation. Christ redeemed you according to the law. He became the suitable sacrifice. But there's still a problem. There's a curse on you. And that curse must be removed. So Christ not only redeemed us on the cross, as it says in Galatians 3, he became cursed for us. He became a curse. He replaced our punishment by being punished himself. On the cross, Christ experienced the curse of death, and every aspect of his death was cursed. He was beaten and flogged like a cursed man. He was dragged outside the city to a hill where the Romans would execute cursed criminals. He was stripped naked and nailed to a wooden cross and hung above the earth, a symbol of being cursed by God. Now, there is nothing accidental, there is nothing coincidental about every aspect of our Savior's death. All of it was for the intention that the Almighty God would curse his Son. God would curse him, and he would suffer. There's nothing coincidental nor accidental that Jesus had to drag a wooden cross outside of town and to be hung there without his feet touching the ground, because as the law demands, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And by accepting this type of death, Christ became our curse. And he became our curse to remove the curse from us, like Noah, who redeemed his family from the curse of the flood by way of a wooden ark, like Moses, who redeemed the children of Israel from the curse of slavery by way of his wooden staff, and on the cross, that wooden cross, Christ would redeem all of those who would believe on him. And we who are the redeemed, we must say so. Jesus became our curse, crucified by the Gentiles. In the darkness of midday, in that hour, while he hung there, and all of the sin of the world came upon him. And in that moment, a holy and a righteous God turned his face from the one who hung cursed. And on the cross, Jesus became our sin bearer. What does that mean? That means he became our evil bearer. What does that mean? That means he became wickedness. He became wickedness. The perfect, sinless, holy law fulfiller became wretched because of your sin. And in these agonizing hours at Calvary, Jesus was not blessed by God on the cross. He was cursed by God on the cross. And as the scriptures tell us, on the sixth hour, as the darkness covered the earth, as Christ became our sin bearer, and as the Father then had to forsake him, that's when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God the Father said, I condemn you. I condemn you because of the sin that you bear. The prophet Isaiah tried to describe this with such clarity, Isaiah 53 and 10, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. How is that possible? How is it possible that a righteous God would be pleased to crush his only begotten Son? Well, Isaiah says, if he would render himself as a guilt offering, and there we find part of the clue. How can the Father take pleasure in the crushing of the only begotten Son? It's the very same way that the Father took pleasure in the crushing of millions and millions of guilt offerings that had been dedicated to him from the time that the law was written up until the time that Jesus died on the cross. Countless animals crushed, their blood spilt, so that the righteousness of God might be appeased. And now it was time for no more animals to die. It was time to put an end to the entire sacrificial system. Someone had to become the guilt offering once and for all. Someone had to be condemned. Someone had to bear sin. Someone had to be crushed in order to appease the righteousness of God once and then forever. And so God cursed and he crushed Jesus so that Jesus would become the once and forever guilt offering for all who would believe in him. And what God did to Jesus on the cross was enough. It was enough for you. It was enough for you. It was enough for your sins to be totally and forever forgiven. And as a result of that, this is why the Apostle Paul can say that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, and so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Tonight we reflect on our Lord being cursed. We reflect on Him being willing to become that guilt offering. Tonight we go to the Lord's table very soberly, very cautiously. I want to begin by praying. Now, Father, the Lord's Supper also reminds us of many things. But tonight we are reminded that a body had to be broken and that blood had to be shed, that your Son had to become a curse so that we might be redeemed and the curse that we've placed ourselves under might be removed. Now, Father, what do we have to offer? The only thing that we have to come to the table tonight is our faith in Christ, that what He did and what He accomplished was good enough. And so we humbly come to this table by faith in our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to pass the plates. If we can get our elders and our deacons to station themselves to the right and to the left. And as the plates are being passed, here's what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to receive both the cup and the bread. I would like for you to just to hold on to that until everyone is served. Even then, we're going to sing a song together, Rock of Ages. And then afterwards, I'll come up and I'll lead us all together as one church, as one body, to partake these elements. The Lord Himself instituted this most important ordinance of the church, and this is for all of us who have done exactly what I said, who have come humbly to God, knowing that we need forgiveness and that we can't attain it on our own by faith in Jesus Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus, you stand right before the Lord. And if you are in good standing with your church, we invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper tonight. Now, children, listen to me. Many of you typically don't see your parents take the Lord's Supper, and so I want you to watch what's taking place. Because, children, what we're going to do is we're going to reenact the death of Jesus by taking the bread and putting it in our mouths and taking the cup and drinking it. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. I think it would be very good for you just to sit quietly and watch, okay? And so if you would now receive the elements.